Are UK and EU negotiators close to reaching agreement that could see a Brexit in 15 days that doesn't require border checks on this island? Will any agreement pass through the House of Commons? Will the people or the politicians of the North be asked to decide? Talks continued into the early hours in Brussels and will resume shortly. In London, the British Prime Minister met late with the DUP leader and deputy leader, and in Belfast, their Northern Secretary met with the Foreign Minister here. The main stumbling blocks continue to be how to manage customs on the island of Ireland and what role Stormont might have in endorsing any new agreement. Speaking to RTÉ News last night, DUP leader Arlene Foster said her party still wants a deal and dismissed speculation about a Northern Ireland-only backstop.
We do want to get a deal, but it has to be a deal that respects the constitutional and economic place of Northern Ireland within the United Kingdom. And if there is to be consent, there has to be consent which is in accordance with the Belfast Agreement. In other words, there has to be consent from the nationalist community and the unionist community. And when I hear talk of a Northern Ireland backstop, as I did in your headlines, I think that things are very far off the mark in terms of all of that.
Arlene Foster speaking to the 6-1 News last night. Our Northern editor Tommy Gorman is in Belfast. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly is in Brussels. Tony, to you first, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
Where are we this morning?
Well, the talks resume, Gavin, this morning. They carried on beyond midnight last night, and then negotiators took a break and they're back in the room this morning. Now, they have an effective deadline of, say, around 11 o'clock local time, because Michel Barnier is due to brief the 27 EU commissioners. They have a weekly meeting on a Wednesday, and then he's due to brief member states at 2 o'clock local time. So if there is going to be a deal, it will have to be done in time for those briefings, because the EU is insisting adamantly that there can't be any negotiation at the summit. These talks can't drift in to the summit tomorrow. In other words, leaders will not be going through a text and changing paragraphs here and there. This has to be pre-cooked. It has to be ready for leaders to give their endorsement. So we're not over the line yet. And I understand that there are still a number of key problems, customs being the big issue, but I'm also hearing that VAT is proving to be a bit of a sticky problem. In other words, would Northern Ireland be in the EU's VAT area or in the UK's VAT area? The consent issue as well apparently is causing still some problems. So I think the negotiators still have quite a bit of work to do, but the sense of optimism, I suppose, that evolved during the day yesterday is still there.
Is any deal likely to be a redrafting of the original Northern Ireland only backstop, a case of I can't believe it's not a backstop?
Well, going into this process, the UK tabled their big solution for the Irish question, and that was essentially a dual customs arrangement. So Northern Ireland would be in the UK's customs territory, but to all intents and purposes, it would be operating under EU customs tariffs and rules and procedures. Now, when negotiators started to look in detail about how that would work, they had grave concerns about how you trace goods going from Great Britain to Northern Ireland. Do they end up where they're supposed to end up? Would traders get a rebate for if there's a differential between the EU tariff and the UK tariff? And how would that rebate system happen? How do you cope with fraud and so on? So the EU's position, their baseline position was, look, the Northern Ireland only backstop, the original backstop, is a much simpler, much more legally unambiguous arrangement. Northern Ireland simply stays in the EU's customs territory and applies EU customs rules. And then, of course, you would have to have customs checks along the Irish Sea. So what they seem to be doing is trying to perhaps merge those two positions with fixes here and there. And I think the way to look at this is, from the very outset of these negotiations, the EU has always been determined that any agreement is legally watertight, it's legally operable in the jargon. And whereas the UK's preference has been to have a commitment in principle and then to sort out the legal stuff and the technical stuff afterwards during a transition period. So the way to look at this, I think, is that the more that is nailed down as legally operable means the UK is making more concessions, whereas the more that is left open, then that's a win for the UK. But I think you can guess that the EU, because of its nature, because it's 27 countries, is going to be more insistent on having everything nailed down legally. If things are left open as a commitment to the future and they say, well, we'll try and fix this in this particular way, and agreement isn't reached in the future, then the default could be that EU rules will take over. So that, I think, is where they're trying to work out this particular bridging of the gap.
Tommy Gorman in Belfast, good morning.
Morning, Gavin.
That clip we heard from Arlene Foster when she was speaking to Sharon Tobin last night, she said that suggestions of a comparison with the Northern Ireland only backstop were very wide of the mark. Later that evening, she met with Boris Johnson herself and Nigel Dodds, and the Financial Times is reporting that they were haggling over a big cash payment. What for?
Well, this is entirely predictable in terms of the DUP. They're giving ground. They already made concessions in relation to regulatory alignment. So in those circumstances where some of their critics will say, you moved, they're going to look for, well, look at what we got. So they're examining the positions, what might be available if, and it's still very much if. So the if would include a significant cash injection to cover for the infrastructure gaps that have developed in the last 3 years. Remember a special deal that they got in relation to welfare reform for Northern Ireland. That's due to run out as well. So in the circumstances, if the DUP were to move, they would demand, and I'm sure they would get, financial compensation that would allow them to say to their support base and beyond, this is what we got for holding out. It's typical DUP. They're very, very hard negotiators. And if you look at what they did last night, they went in, Nigel Dodds, Arlene Foster, and the party's chief executive, Timmy Johnson. They saw Boris Johnson for 90 minutes. They'd have been aware of people like Ian Duncan-Smith and Owen Paterson saying, no, there's too much being demanded there. That will make them kind of nervous. But afterwards, they go quiet. They put nobody up for the radio programmes on the BBCs, on the RTEs this morning, on the Skies. They stay quiet. They let things develop. And they see what emerges after people have had a night's sleep in Brussels, after they get back to the table this morning, to see if any further tweaking can be done on that deal.
Tony was talking about the issue of consent and the role that Stormont might play. If Stormont isn't reconvened by Monday, abortion will be decriminalised and provisions to apply from next April will need to be set out by the Northern Secretary. The prospect of, after over 1,000 days, that the DUP and Sinn Féin will in the next 5 days agree to go back into power, is that fanciful?
Well, let's just deal with your question in two parts. First of all, in relation to what Arlene Foster said about a majority of nationalists, majority of unionists, she has been using for a number of weeks now another word, collegiality. And that's Arlene Foster saying, if we did get Stormont up and running, I would expect that the kind of petition of concern mentality that existed in past administrations, we look after our crowd, you look after yours, that she would be willing to have some change there. And I think that's where there's the space on the consent question. Now, in relation to abortion and that October the 21st deadline, so interesting that Simon Coveney, after a busy day in Luxembourg, that he comes back to Ireland. And what does he do? Last night he meets Julian Smith, the Northern Secretary. Now, my understanding is that at 8:15 this morning, the Taoiseach is due to see Sinn Féin, and that Julian Smith, I think, is seeing them at 11:30 this morning. So the Taoiseach and the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland are trying to advance their end. They're trying to see if, against the odds, something can be done to get people back to Stormont by Monday. It's an outside chance, but there's a very real deadline of that decriminalisation of abortion. And there's considerable pressure on the parties to act in relation to that from a lot of support bases around the place. So as long as there's that possibility, you'd expect Simon Coveney and Julian Smith to try and push that side of the argument, because they see how that could become an important, say, element of the overall jigsaw. also think as well, you have to take account of what's happening in the wider world. Leo Varadkar created this space by the gamble he took last week. Look at what has happened to the pound in recent days. It's at a 5-month high. It's up 5%. So while that optimism is there, you can see why the likes of Julian Smith and Simon Coveney are trying to push things further on.
Tony, finally, back to you in Brussels. What role are you hearing that Stormont might play in any agreement?
Well, the original proposal by the UK was that Stormont would have to give an endorsement to endorse going into this new arrangement, this new modified backstop, 6 months before the end of the transition and then every 4 years afterwards. Now, that proposal seems to have gone. And the question then is, you know, what kind of consent mechanism could you get? Would it be a one-off event? Would it be a referendum, for example, although Arlene Foster has ruled that out? Would it be more like oversight rather than consent? Could you get the North-South and East-West apparatus of the Good Friday Agreement to take a bigger role in this? These are the issues. And of course, because Stormont isn't sitting, and perhaps in the future it might collapse again. So there are a lot of question marks over how this would actually work. And also for the EU, they would feel it's not really for us, the European Union, to tell Northern Ireland how to run its business or to endorse or give the green light to something. This is for the UK government to work out. So all these issues have to be resolved.
Tony Connolly in Brussels, Tommy Gorman in Belfast, thank you. 23 minutes past 7.